Something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And we are back for hour two of our nightly get-together here on Air America Radio. I am Nicole Sandler. Thank you for joining me tonight. Just a programming note, tomorrow night we will have a best-of edition of the Nicole Sandler Show here from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, because I will be on live a little bit earlier tomorrow night. I'll be filling in for Ron Reagan, who I guess he's been out in New York this week, and usually, well, he lives in Seattle, so I guess he's heading back home tomorrow. So I will be filling in from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 on the West Coast. And my guests at this point, Vincent Bugliosi will be with me in the last hour of the show, and Frank Schaefer, who was supposed to be with us last night, will instead be with us tomorrow. So, and of course, whatever the big news story of the day is tomorrow, we will be dealing with that in the first hour. So I hope you will join me a little bit earlier tomorrow night here on Air America Radio. Okay, on to hour two. But keeping the same topic, because, well, this is just sort of what's hitting us in the face today, isn't it? And I had already planned on having Mark Carlin on the show. Mark Carlin is the editor and publisher of BuzzFlash.com. And if you're like me, BuzzFlash is one of your, first stops in the morning when you go online to check the news of the day. It's just a great compendium of news stories put together by Mark Carlin and his gang over at BuzzFlash. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a guy on who wrote a wonderful op-ed piece, a guest editorial for BuzzFlash. He was the one who talked about if you're 50 years old, what healthcare reform means to you, or what the lack of healthcare reform means to you. And so tonight I've got the guy who is the man behind BuzzFlash, Mark Carlin. And Mark was going to come on regardless and talk about, the news of the day and do sort of a wrap up of what's going on in the world and the top stories on BuzzFlash. But he also, coincidentally enough, wrote a piece today on BuzzFlash, his own editorial, Let's Get to the Heart of the Matter, Racism. And it was from this column that I found that letter that I read to you earlier, the letter that Representative David Scott of Georgia received from the racist pig that I called just a little while before I went on the air, the guy John Myers. And I played part of that call earlier. I know we have some people coming in and out, so maybe we'll listen to another little bit of it if we can stomach it. But first, let me bring on Mark Carlin. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Nicole. Good evening. I really enjoyed the first hour.
Hey, well, Tim Wise was an excellent guest, don't you think?
He's a very tremendous thinker about a subject that Americans keep sweeping under the rug until its ugly head rises again, which is racism.
And the thing is, as I sort of read off a list of these racist episodes that we've seen over just the past week alone, and keeping going on today, even with the swastika painted on the same congressman's door who got this letter faxed to him.
Well, I think that the threats to President Obama have been the highest of any president in history. But I do think it's very important to understand that racism in America is often like a thermometer. It can be very agitated and energetic and like a virulent sort of disease, or it can be sort of latent. It's been turned up lately intentionally. On the one hand, by the right-wing media shills on television, you mentioned a lot of them, Glenn Beck in particular, Rush Limbaugh on radio. But what is happening at these town halls is very much orchestrated by Dick Armey as a key person, former congressman from Texas and formerly in the House leadership with Gingrich, through an organization called Freedom Works.
Sure.
And they're getting a lot of these people to show up. They're calling them. They're getting the word out. And they're being funded by the lobbyists on K Street from the healthcare industry. So the relationship to the passage of so-called healthcare reform and this reemergence of racism is very direct. On the other hand, I don't think you would necessarily see this if it wasn't being orchestrated. The racism would be there, but it would be more latent.
Well, yeah, it would be more the way it's been. It would be maybe percolating under the surface, but it wouldn't be as in your face as we're seeing it. I think the army of Dick, as I've been referring to them, they've been emboldened by, you know, finding their, you know, people with a like, you know, degree of dementia to what they have. You know, there's comfort in numbers, I guess. So it emboldens them. Like this guy, John Myers, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he's probably been emboldened by hearing these other people speaking out and, you know, questioning President Obama's, you know, credentials as an American citizen, and Lou Dobbs, you know, leading the charge among them, and by Glenn Beck saying that Obama's a racist. You know, by them doing this, I think it gives these people more, you know, less fear, like figuring, well, I guess I can come out of the closet now and say what I think, what I've been hiding for so long.
There's no question that the legitimacy given to someone like Lou Dobbs, the fact that he has a program, the fact that there's an entire Fox network, and remember, Lou Dobbs is on CNN, which is considered neutral by many, but the head of CNN today, by the way, ironically said that he wouldn't allow talk show hosts anymore from radio on, because they were too boring and predictable, but he's doing nothing about Lou Dobbs, who also happens to have a radio program. But these programs energize the emotion of racism, because these are people who feel they've been shafted, their jobs have been shifted overseas, they're working for lower wages. As Tim Wise said, many of the most racist people are whites at the lower economic scale, mm-hmm. or just above poor blacks. And they're looking for a scapegoat. Now, you got Dick Armey working for the K Street lobbyists, who are working for Big Pharma and the insurance companies in this case. And what they're doing, Dick Armey, that is, on behalf of the lobbyists and the big corporations, is scapegoating. It's called demagoguery. They're getting these people to blame blacks for their economic dilemmas, for their feeling of not having achieved more socially, as Tim pointed out. And it's pure scapegoating. This is what demagoguery has been throughout history. This is what Glenn Beck does. This is what Rush Limbaugh does. This is what Ann Coulter does. This is what Bill O'Reilly does. And all these people, as you said, Nicole, feel empowered because they're hearing this voice in the air that says, in code words, what you're thinking is right. It's those people who are taking over America, the other. And as was pointed out in your first hour, the whole idea that Barack Obama is not an American, that he's part of the other, is racist in many ways. That's a code way of saying he's un-American, he's not white. And this takes everyone's attention. Look, what we're talking about tonight, rather than talking about healthcare reform, we're talking about the reemergence of racism, which is basically an engineered reemergence by these corporations who oppose healthcare reform.
Yeah, and what's amazing is that it's coming out under the guise of these people being upset about healthcare reform, when in fact I really think that's just, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, or the, you know, the spark that lit the barn on fire. if you will.
Well, they don't make any sense when, if you get them talking about health care reform in any of the interviews you've seen, none of them really make sense. In the letter you read from Mr. Myers, he talks about the folks won't stand for socialized medicine. Well, you said he was 83. He's on Medicare.
That's right. And you know what? I wanted to get there with him, but I finally, you know what? I didn't play it to the end. And like I said, I will post the entire phone call so people can listen to it. But I'm not going to waste 10 minutes of airtime listening to the ramblings of a bigoted, hateful person, which is all it was. But what happened was I couldn't. He wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise. He wouldn't let me ask the questions, and I finally just hung up. I finally just said, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, I think so much of what the right wing does, Nicole, is to create this portrait that white people are victims. It's somewhat ironic because Mr. Myers, in his phone call to you, was saying, well, blacks, you know, in essence, he was saying, I'm paraphrasing, play the victim, can't stand on their own feet, we've been carrying them. But it's the white people. If you listen to Glenn Beck, his whole thing is victimization of the white person. We're being victimized by tyranny. To us who think rationally, this doesn't make any sense. But we have to remember, this is what demagoguery is all about. It's playing to the emotions of people. And unfortunately, people who have a high intensity of feeling, in this case, it's the racists who are turning out to town hall because Dick Armey is organizing this, and other people, too, and the GOP leaders are encouraging it. Fox is, fulminating it. They have a very high intensity of feeling, and often it's the people with the high intensity of feeling, unfortunately, who prevail, and the Republicans are very good at playing that game of stoking the emotions of people. As dreadful as racism is, they've been doing this since Nixon, as I wrote in my editorial on BuzzFlash today.
Yes.
They've been playing the race card, and the race card goes deep down into the emotional gut. It's not something that you can subject to logic.
Yeah, you got that right. Mark Carlin is with us. He is the editor and publisher of BuzzFlash.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side, talk a little bit more about this. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can. 866-303-2270. We'll also get into some of the other stories that are up on BuzzFlash today. I'm Nicole Sandler. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Nicole Sandler.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270.
I had a supervision, he was someone else because the posters on the wall, they don't look like a human.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
And we are back with Mark Carlin of BuzzFlash.com. He's the editor and publisher, and he wrote a wonderful op-ed piece today on BuzzFlash about racism in America. And it was from that piece, Mark, you had actually heard Mark Thompson, who does a show on Sirius Left, who mentioned this letter that this Neanderthal from Michigan wrote and sent to, I'm frantically trying to pull it up on my computer.
He actually received it from in a PDF format from the congressman who had received it, along with a flyer, which we don't know yet whether that also came from Mr. Myers. It may or may not have.
Right. And Myers, and I'm going to play another portion of the interview in just a moment. Myers denied that he sent that flyer. Now, at the bottom, it's posted up on TwitPic. And on the bottom of the letter, it says, letter to Congressman David Scott accompanied swastika. And I don't know who wrote that, but I asked him about the swastika. So I'm going to just play another segment of the interview that backs up to, I'm reading a quote from his letter. This is a guy named John Myers from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I quote him back to himself. And this is where the guy gets really animated. It's about is you sent this letter to Congressman David Scott talking about, even though most Negroes refuse to stand on their own two feet. Do you have a statistic?
You bet your fucking life I mean that.
Really?
We've been carrying those people for decades.
Wow.
And they refuse to get up on their pull up their suit straps and get on with their lives.
Wow.
It's us. Oh, my God, what the whites have done to us for the last 150 years. Enough, enough, enough already.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, now, one other thing. You sent a
Wait a minute. There's a couple of other things here.
Well, I'll let you get to them.
Wait.
I want to ask you a question.
Wait a minute. So you can cut and dry and this whole thing.
Cut anything. I'm just going to bleep your profanities.
I'm 81 years old. I've probably been around this revolving earth a hell of a lot more than you have. Another thing, I probably have read 10 times books that you ever read in your fucking life.
Somehow I doubt that.
I'll bet you if you came into my house right now and looked at my library, you'd find it something. Jesus, where the hell all this shit come from? So you're not talking to some goddamn interest piece of dumb pieces of shit. Okay, so now let's go on. Now, wait, I have to qualify something.
I want to ask about
this. Wait. I have to qualify something here.
Yeah.
You've called late in the evening, and I've had a couple of drinks. So now, okay, proceed.
Okay. Along with this letter you sent to Congressman Scott, you enclosed a swastika. Can I ask what that was for?
No. Wait a minute. I do not recall sending any swastika.
There was a swastika.
I do not recall sending any swastika
you don't recall it.
To David Scott.
No, you just sent a hateful.
I do not recall doing that.
You don't recall it, huh? Okay, but
Wait a minute. I just got through saying that.
All right, so that's all I'm going to play. And that's honestly that's all I edited. That's all I bleeped out. But Mark Carlin. So. I have a feeling he did send a swastika just because the way he said, I don't recall sending it.
I can't speak to that. I believe that Mark Thompson put that at the bottom of the Twitter pic, which was the PDF file sent to him from Congressman Scott. And that's his Twitter pic.
Right, because later on he denied the flyer, but he just said, I don't recall sending the swastika. Either way, the letter was pretty despicable in and of itself, and just the way he reacted when I read that passage from the letter, it's frightening to know that there are people like this out there. All right, we're going to take a break. Mark Carlin is with us. We'll come back on the other side and talk about some of the other stories in the news today on Air America Radio. Don't go away.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
A rich old man, and she won't have to worry. She'll dress her up on.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
And we are back. My guest this hour is Mark Carlin of BuzzFlash.com, who wrote a great op-ed piece today. Let's get to the heart of the matter, racism. So, Mark, so you heard a few portions of that phone call with the guy who wrote that letter. What does that do to you? I mean, because I was so shaken up. After 10 minutes, I finally hung up on the guy because I couldn't get a question out without him just hurling obscenities and, you know, telling me to shut up and not answering my question. So I finally gave up and hung up.
I think, first of all, that you were a very courageous journalist to call him. I think it takes a lot of guts to put up with that sort of anger. But I think we have to keep our eye on the prize. I think the Republicans want to rattle us. I think they want us to be distracted by fellows like Mr. Myers. They want the mobs and the thugs to get the attention they're getting from the news media because it's a very attractive magnet for news to have these people with very vitriolic and hateful signs out there. But the prize is health care reform, and the reason that this is all happening now, it's not because there's a sudden emergence of racism, but because the stakes are so high for the Republican Party. basically, this is health care reform is the showdown vote in the Obama administration thus far and perhaps for his entire term. And it pits the interests of the corporations and K Street versus the people. Obama is saying people come first. Americans need health care. I've read through your blog, Nicole, and know you have challenges with your daughter's health care, to say the least, and her insurance. And so Obama's basically saying the people come first. And he said, if you recall in one of his debates with McCain, health care was a right, and McCain said it was a privilege. And that's the distinction between the parties. And I think the reason the GOP is willing to go to the mat on this and basically burn the House down is that this is a defining moment. If they don't prevail, if the corporations don't prevail, meaning the private insurance companies and big pharma, then Obama will get his government option and Americans will feel grateful that their government, a sizable number of Americans, is protecting them from being cut off as your daughter was cut off from her insurance, from being precluded insurance due to pre-existing conditions. There will be a government option, so you can get less expensive coverage if you can't afford private insurance. And if people are grateful to the government, as some senior citizens are for Medicare and Social Security, that's going to wound the Republican Party and the whole myth that somehow the free enterprise system and the so-called free market is more valuable to our society than the government, which they portray is always bungling. And so it's their big face off with Obama. And so they're willing to call out what one of our readers said was a group of racist pawns to do their dirty work and to distract our attention from the prize of health care reform, because if they lose this battle, it's going to be very hard for the Republican Party to pull itself out of the hole it's caught in. All it's got left as supporters is basically the South and disgruntled white males.
Right, and guys so, like that Myers who wrote that letter. Yeah, that's
exactly
that's
so
their base now.
If they don't win by distracting our attention from what the health care reform debate, because we're not talking about the health care reform debate, everyone's talking about, you know, kooks like Mr. Myers and the mob scenes and the thugs at these events and Sarah Palin.
And that's
Palin
what they want. They don't want to talk about the health care debate because they know that they have no argument there and they have no solution. All they're offering up is no. All right. Mark Carlin is with us. I got a couple of people holding who want to get in. So let's go to the phone. Steve in Sussex, Wisconsin. Hi, you're on Air America with Nicole Sandler and Mark Carlin.
Hi, Nicole. Mark Carlin. I agree with everything Mark is saying, and I think it's really interesting how the social dynamic of the collapse of the white establishment, as Bill O'Reilly coined it on his show. I think that's what's behind it, and the stoking of racism, it reminds me of 1989-1990 in Romania, when the communist establishment was collapsing, and you had the whole Romanian revolution started by a small group of minorities in the town of Timișoara, and 3 months later, when these group of students in another town was protesting, well, actually it was 10,000 people protesting, minorities were protesting for their right to study on their mother tongue, about 3,000 peasants were bussed in from surrounding villages by the Romanian local officials the communist officials were still in place, and they were about 5 minutes away from getting out of power. And they told these peasants that the Hungarians are about to break apart the country, and they made up all sorts of crazy stories, and it resulted in violent clashes. And it's amazing to me to watch this happen in this country. I could not believe, I lived here for 15 years, I could not believe my eyes the last year or two to watch the TV play out the same type of mess, social manipulation and just Machiavellian, really cynical politics.
Mm. Go ahead, Mark.
Nothing, Mark.
I would agree. I think it's somewhat ironic that Rush Limbaugh and Dick Armey and Mitch McConnell should be compared to former communist officials, but it's true. This is, again, demagoguery. It's using one group of people that's generally on the lower economic strata to get them to see another group as a scapegoat for their problems and have them do the dirty work for the people at the top who are actually causing the problems for that lower economic strata group of people. That's exactly what this gentleman said happened in Romania, and it's what's happening in the United States.
That's pretty interesting. Thanks for the call, Steve. Let's go up to New York City and Woodley. Hi, Woodley. You're on Air America.
Hi.
Hi.
All right. I've been listening to Air America for a long time now. I really miss it in New York. I've been trying to do my homework with this situation, and what I'm seeing, I do not like. I pay attention to Rush and Glenn and Bill, and I'm not seeing the race baiting that you talk about.
Hold on. You're not seeing the race baiting? Okay, you're not. Did you hear Glenn Beck say that President Obama is a racist with a deep-seated hatred for the white people? That's not race baiting?
That's not race baiting. That's his opinion.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, how about this one? I'm going to play you. This is Rush Limbaugh from just a couple days ago.
I think Obama is largely misunderstood by a lot of people. I think if his associations in his young life and early adult life mattered. The people that mentored him matter. And we're finding out this guy's got a chip on his shoulder. He's angry at this country. He's not proud of it. Let's face it, President Obama's black. And I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think there are elements of this country he doesn't like and he never has liked. And he's using the power of the presidency to remake the country.
He's using the power of the presidency to remake the country because he doesn't like it because he's black and he's got a chip on his shoulder?
Once again, he put that statement out for you to either agree with or find out the truth for yourself. Personally, I wouldn't say Barack Obama is a black nationalist as much as he is a socialist. Now, it just so happens that he is black.
Uh-huh.
Like, for example, Rush Limbaugh has stated from the beginning that he was a blood-sucking free market capitalist, and that's what he argues on. Now, he does his little... He does these little things to get on people's nerves and stuff. He says statements and don't take them back. Believe me, he did not apologize for the Baraka Magic Negro song for a specific reason. Now, when it comes to racism...
Okay, what's the reason? Because he's a racist.
No. See, the Baraka the Magic Negro song was written by a African-American...
I don't care who wrote it. I don't care who wrote it. The fact that he played it, no, I don't. And the fact that he played it on the radio is disrespectful. I'm sorry. If somebody played a song, a spoof song about, hold on a second, about George W. Bush, going AWOL from his duties with the Texas Air National Guard, Rush Limbaugh would have been all over them.
I will give the devil his due, but the fact of the matter, let's go back to the Magic Negro song. Point of fact is, Rush Limbaugh put two words, black racism on black conservative racism, and then the world went upside down on its head. He was making fun of y'all, making fun of Barack Obama.
No, he wasn't. I'm sorry.
Yes, he was. That's the whole purpose of the whole Barack Obama Magic Negro song.
You give Rush Limbaugh way too much credit. He is a racist pig.
Oh, my God, that is so simplistic. You're being overly simplistic and you're being overly emotional. The fact of the matter is, this is not about racism. It's about free market capitalism against socialism, point blank, period.
Okay, and there's nothing socialist about Barack Obama. I wish he would be a little more socialist, then I'd be happier. Thank you for the call, Woodley. Thanks a lot.
Nicole, if I could just get something in. We had a commentary the other day from writer Dave Lindorf, who writes for us. And basically, he pointed out 10 questions to answer from callers like the one we just had. And the key point is, if Medicare for everyone is so bad, why does every nation who has had it keep it? None of them have turned it back if it's so bad, and these are all democratic nations. The word socialist is used with a lot of loose meaning by people, and if socialism means the government has insurance programs, but we have Medicare. So I think this gentleman, I think Mr. Myers, I think Rush Limbaugh, all these people should vote to remove Medicare from our government.
I think
they should vote to remove Social Security. Mm-hmm. The House of Representatives had a vote the other day. A smart Democrat, a Representative Weiner, introduced a bill to eliminate Medicare. Of course, mm-hmm. he didn't want to eliminate anybody. One of the Republicans, they have to vote. Not one Republican voted to eliminate Medicare. Are they all socialists?
Right, they must be, and all these people who, you know, but we've seen it time and time again. The people who, you know, wrote to a woman who Barack Obama has told the story. One of the letters he read was from someone who said, "To keep your socialist programs and you know, I can leave my Medicare alone and keep your government out of my Medicare." I had a caller to the show basically say the same thing. He's like, "Well, I'm not in favor of, you know, single payer, but I think we should have Medicare for all." Again, people, you know, they don't get it. Medicare is a government-run insurance program. Is it socialism? No. Do I think a little bit of socialism when it comes to the healthcare industry would serve us well? Yes, just as I think it would serve us well when it comes to energy. I think oil and gas, I think those should all be nationalized.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I find it ironic that all these people who say that they object to a mixed economy, which is basically what Barack Obama is in favor of, should condemn Barack Obama and call him a socialist when he's the guy that authorized, along with Bush, $2 trillion to bail out Wall Street because they gambled away that money on derivatives. And that was the free market system. Our economy would have collapsed because of the way the free market system functioned on Wall Street. But the government bailed it out. It was welfare for Wall Street. So is that free market or socialism?
Well, I think it was socialism for the corporations instead of the people who really could have benefited from it. I mean, I kept saying with the bailouts, well, if they had just split that money up among us with the directive that it could only be used to pay mortgages and credit card debt and outstanding bills, the money would have made its way up to the banks, but it would have helped us along the way. It would have kept a hell of a lot of people in their homes. It just seems such a simple answer to me, but no, that would have been socialism.
It's a great idea, but apparently socialism is only allowed for the free market.
Right. Go figure that one. All right, Mark Carlin's with us from BuzzFlash.com. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for the night. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio. Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
And we are back from the last final minutes of tonight's program here on Air America Radio. And again, a reminder, tomorrow night I will not be here. We will have a best of. We'll rerun the interviews from last week with both Wendell Potter, who is like my hero, the whistleblower of the insurance industry, and Russ Baker, who wrote that amazing book about all the Bush family secrets. And it was a fascinating couple of hours. So I will be on live earlier in the evening tomorrow night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, filling in for Ron Reagan tomorrow. I will have Vincent Bugliosi on the show. It is the 40th anniversary of the Manson killings, and I think Squeaky Frome is getting out of jail next week. We will also have Frank Schaefer, who is one of the founders of the evangelical right movement, who has seen the light, really, and has come around. And he wrote an amazing piece on Alternet the other day about all the people that are, you know, the people that are doing these disruptive protests at the town hall meetings. Well, they are taking a page from their old playbook in the beginning, the early days of the evangelical movement and what they used to do around the clinics that provided abortions. Not sure what we'll be doing in the first hour. I guess that all depends on what the headlines are tomorrow. All right. Right now, Mark Carlin remains with us from BuzzFlash.com. It's a great aggregator, a news aggregator, which just has it's a great look at some of the big stories of the day. Mark, how long have you had BuzzFlash going?
Since May of 2000, Nicole.
Wow, so you've been at this for a long time.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of what's happening now. Before, we saw the mob in 2000 when Bush stole the election. We saw an eight-year effort to unseat Clinton, resulting in the effort to impeach him. And I think, once again, those of us who are concerned personally about health care, as you are, and many of your listeners, most Americans, we've got to keep our eye on the prize and not let mob rule distract us from the ultimate goal, which is health care reform.
Well, I agree. And to that end, I've been telling people, I mean, I think it's all, each one of us, we really need to stand up and be counted along these lines. I know personally, I have searched out all my local representatives down here to find out when and if they're having any kind of town hall meetings. I know Congress, I'm in South Florida. Robert Wexler will be having a town hall meeting a week from Thursday up in Delray Beach. Now, it's a schlep for me. It's not around the corner, but I'm going to make a point of going because I did speak with someone from his office who told me they are already getting calls from the Army of Dick. And so those people are going to be out. And we need to stand firm and not stoop to their level. We need to raise the discourse and have an intelligent Q&A and try to keep it on that level, as difficult as that may be.
Absolutely. We need to be disciplined, and we need not to be distracted, because that's the goal of this campaign, is to distract us. And we can't allow that to happen. It's our obligations as Americans to engage in a civil discourse, but to end up with a piece of legislation that benefits the common good. That's not socialism. That's being part of the American community.
And no, it is not socialism. But, you know, just like the neocons tried to make liberal a bad word, I'm a liberal and I'm proud of it. I also think some hint of socialism, again, in some areas of the commons would not be such a terrible thing. I'll take a page from Bernie Sanders' book any day, and he calls himself a socialist democrat or democratic socialist or something. Anyway.
We have